Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text this morning is the Holy Gospel, which Craig has just read, under the theme this morning, Rejoice that you are a Christian. Please be seated. Jesus said, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Those words are so appropriate for us today. For my dear friends, I know the troubles that you have. I know the sins that you are troubled with because I have the same troubles. And I am troubled with the same sins. Just because I'm an ordained minister of the word doesn't mean that I am exempt from suffering, from temptation, and from sin. Yet I read these words of Jesus this morning, Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why is that? Because Jesus continues by saying, Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may be where I am. Normally we hear these words at a funeral. It's very appropriate that we hear these words all the time if we stop to think about it. For we certainly are troubled in this life. We are overcome by trials and temptations, by the sins of our own doing. There is death all around us. There is suffering. There are those who are in the hospital now or getting ready to go to the hospital. Those who are recovering from surgery and those who are ready to go into surgery. We wish it wouldn't be this way, but it is. It is because Adam and Eve listened to the evil one. And because they listened to the evil one, you and I have inherited the sin that started and was created in Eden. Yet Jesus tells us, do not be troubled. Don't be troubled because he is going away and he is going to prepare. My friends, these are words of Jesus today that are sweet. The sweetness of the gospel that builds us up, that assures us of a gift of heaven. Jesus makes us a promise, just as he made a promise to a young man and a young woman standing here yesterday. And Jesus will keep his promise. Jesus promised to come and take away the sins of the world. He promised to take away your sin, and he did. Jesus has only one more promise to keep. And that promise is that he will come again to receive you unto himself. The children just heard that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus clearly pointed this out to his disciples in our Holy Gospel this morning. Jesus, he is the way. He is the one who has prepared the way to heaven by his vicarious death. There is no other way, dear friends, to heaven. People will try to tell you today that you can do this or that, or you can believe in this person or that God, but none of those gods and none of those people have gone here to die for you. Thanks be to God that last week you heard the law and the gospel, you heard the full counsel of God spoken through a young man, a seminarian. Last week, I heard a sermon from an experienced pastor who never mentioned Jesus once. Rather, he talked about mothers. 35 minutes about moms. The last time I checked, my mom did not go here to save me. When I left, I had no assurance. I had no assurance that the people who are listening to this pastor, the members of that church, are saved. I had no assurance at all. They enjoyed the show, I'm sure. The smoke machines, the rock music, the pounding drums. Oh, it was a rock concert. It was loud. I have bad hearing. Now I have worse hearing. And when I came out of there, my head actually hurt. But my heart was sick. Sick because a Christian pastor was preaching about moms when he should have been preaching about Jesus. Because Jesus is the way. Not my mom, not your mom, and no woman or man has opened the door of heaven for you except the man, Jesus, who is the Christ. Only Jesus paid your debt of sin. And only by his vicarious death is the way now open for you. The gate of heaven is open for each and every one of you. And it is only by Jesus the Christ. Therefore, he is the truth. He speaks the truth. Unlike the message that I heard last week, which was full of lies. Last week, you heard the truth spoken by a seminarian. This week, you hear the truth again of Jesus, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. My friends, we can trust his word because we know that Jesus is faithful and true. He is faithful and true to his Father, and he is faithful and true to each and every one of you. Jesus is the life. When a young child can tell me that Jesus is found in the Bible and that Jesus is their Savior, that makes my heart leap with joy. There aren't many children who can tell us that this day. Rather, children go to church and all they are is entertained. They don't hear anything of Jesus. They learn how to play electric guitar and pound on a drum and to talk about other things. But they don't learn about Jesus. Our children here at Zion, they know Jesus. And they know Jesus because the Holy Spirit has led them. And the Holy Spirit has led you, moms and dads, to bring your children here to hear of Jesus. Therefore, Jesus is their life, and he is your life. He is the true God, and he is your eternal life. John even wrote about this, not in the 14th chapter, but in his first chapter. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus. It's Jesus who gives us fellowship, who gives us life with our Heavenly Father now and in eternity. He truly is the way, the truth, and the life. My friends, we have this blessed assurance of heaven. We have this blessed assurance because of faith. Faith which is given to you and me as a free gift here at the font. When you were baptized, either at this font or wherever you may have been baptized, you received another free gift, a gift of faith. And that faith is yours through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, no man can come to the Father without Jesus Christ. And with those believing eyes that see, we know that there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Yes, you and I cannot be saved by any other name. Not my name, not the name of another pastor, not the name of your mother or your father or your grandparents, or any other God, only one name, Jesus. And heaven is ours because of him. By faith, heaven is ours. It's interesting that in John 3:16, which we all know, many people forget what Jesus says in the following two verses, 17 and 18. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. Seems pretty obvious to me, doesn't it? Jesus is pretty obvious to us that there is no other way to be saved. That he came into this world not to condemn, but to save. But if we choose to follow another God, if we choose to sit and listen to a Christian, so-called Christian pastor, who doesn't preach about Jesus, then we are condemned already, as is that pastor. Because he does not preach and teach the name of the one and only Son of God. All he's doing is scratching itching ears. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I know that death has come into our congregation here recently. But Jesus said to Martha, and these are reassuring words for that family, and reassuring words for all families. Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Only Jesus can say that. Only Jesus can say that. And only in those words of Jesus do we have the blessed assurance of what he says. Life. Thanks be to Jesus. Later in our gospel reading, we hear Jesus answer a question. And the question is, show us the Father. You know, there is a state in our union that is known as the Show Me State. I know many of you already know what it is, but just in case you don't know, it's Missouri, the Show Me State. Well, with a Christian, we don't have to be shown because we already know. It's that faith that is working in us that reveals to us, that opens our hearts and minds to the truth, that Jesus is God. Jesus' response to that question, he that has seen me has seen the Father. If you have seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. Because Jesus and the Father are one in essence. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I and the Father are one. Not two gods, one God. Not three gods, one God. Therefore, the words and the work of the Father are seen and worked through Jesus. Faith sees the Father in Jesus, and it's this faith in the words of Jesus that we hear and believe in the graciousness and the mercy of Almighty God. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he also gave us these reassuring words. That all authority in heaven and on earth have been given to me. That about sums it up, doesn't it? All authority has been given to Jesus. All authority has not been given to another God because they are not gods. They are gods of wood or stone or another man who cannot save you and who will not save you because they're dead. Yet Jesus lives because he has all authority in heaven and on earth, and it's been given to him. And my dear friends, because he's been given this authority, we too are able to stand and say that Jesus is my Lord. And because we can say that he is my Lord, as Jesus tells us, we too will do great works. Now we have to be careful with this. There are many Christians who say that you have to do good works to be saved. Well, we do good works because it is the Holy Spirit who is working through us that does these good works. But any time that we step out and leave Jesus in the background and say, it's what I'm doing that's important, you're walking the razor's edge of heresy. As a matter of fact, that razor's edge will cut you in half because it is a lie. The good works that Jesus is talking about, that we will do those greater works, are those works that Jesus has given us to do. And it's by faith that we can perform these, that we can do these good works. And what is the good work that you and I as the church have been given? to proclaim the holy gospel. That's right. The Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28. Jesus has told us to go. He has told us to teach. He has told us to baptize. And that is the great work that the church must perform, because it is the great work that Jesus has given us to do. Therefore, by telling this good news, by proclaiming the good news of Jesus, we are proclaiming His life and His death and His resurrection. And that is good. By proclaiming the good news of our risen and of our crucified and risen Lord, and that He has gone to heaven to prepare a place, we are performing a good work. For we are telling that person, and we are telling ourselves, that I believe, and that you should believe, that Jesus' words are the way, the truth, and the life. My dear friends, as we now close, as a Christian, you can greatly rejoice. Rejoice, for Jesus Christ alone is your answer. You know, the philosophers of this age, they try to answer the question, the age-old question, what is the meaning of life? That's a trap, by the way. And when you hear someone ask you that, what is the meaning of life? There's a very simple answer. Don't get trapped into their false philosophy. Your answer is very simple. It's one word. Jesus. Only Jesus gives you meaning and purpose for life, so that you can live confidently, confidently in this life, even with all those trials and temptations. You know that Jesus has died for them, and you know that in His resurrection, you too will have a resurrection, and you too will live. Yes, Jesus is your way, the only way. Yes, Jesus is your truth, the only truth. Yes, Jesus is your life, eternal life, your eternal life. My dear friends, do not let your hearts be troubled, for Jesus is coming, and He's coming for you and for me. So therefore, lift up your head and behold your salvation. Thanks be to Jesus. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.